Back in the Northern Kingdom, Menahem dies, and his son Pekahiah becomes the king in 758 BC. It's the 50th year of Azariah's reign in the south. Now, Pekahiah is an evil king that rules for only 2 years. Now, in Pekahiah's second year, his officer, by the name of Pekah, kills him with the help of Argob and Arah and 50 other men from the tribe of Gad. Now, Pekah becomes the king, and he rules for 20 years as an evil king. During Pekah's reign in the north and the last year of Azariah's co-reign with his son Jotham in the south, Isaiah begins to minister in both kingdoms. And Isaiah proclaims that from the sole to the head, Israel, the northern kingdom, is sick. And unless God will keep a few, Israel will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes on to say that God hates the way his people have kept the appointed feast, and he will not listen to them until they turn and seek him. Though their sins be as scarlet, he says, he will make them white as snow. But make no mistake, the Lord will destroy his enemies, even if they are his chosen people. Now, Isaiah also tells Judah and Jerusalem that they will follow in Israel's way. But he gives them a promise that in the last days, days that are way far in the future, the Lord alone will be exalted. And Isaiah promises Judah and Jerusalem that the youth will storm against the elders, and the Lord will take all the supplies and precious items away in order to judge his people according to their righteousness or their wickedness. Now, during Pekah's reign in the north, Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, attacks the northern kingdom, and he carries a great many of the northern kingdom's people away into exile, from the town of Ijon and Abel-Beth-Mach, and Genoa, and Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and all of Galilee, and all of Naphtali. Now, the northern kingdom is still intact, but these areas have been conquered by Assyria and taken into exile, and the rest of the kingdom will fall 33 years later. In Pekah's second year as the king of the north, Azariah, or Uzziah, king of the south, dies after 52 years of rule. Now, Azariah's son, Jotham, takes his place as the sole king and ruler for 16 more years as a good and decent king. But in that same year that Azariah, or Uzziah, dies, the Lord sends Isaiah to proclaim a vision that he has seen. And that vision is one of the Lord's throne room and the heavenly temple. An angel touches Isaiah's lips with a burning coal and tells Isaiah that there is forgiveness for sin. And Isaiah asks, how long will it be until the destruction comes? He doesn't know it's 33 years away. The Lord does not tell him when it will happen, but he does tell him that only 10% of the people will survive as a remnant, just as Amos tells the same story, that only 10% will survive. Now, that same year, the Lord tells Hosea the details of the attack, and the attack will come for the Assyrians, and he will take the surviving 10% of the northern kingdom into exile. Isaiah says these words from the Lord: you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because you have trusted in your way, in your numerous warriors. Therefore, a tumult will arise among your people, and all your fortresses will be destroyed. As shall man destroy Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed into pieces with their children, thus it will be done to you at Bethel because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel will be completely cut off, says the Lord. Just after Jotham becomes the sole king of the southern kingdom in 755 BC, Micah begins his ministry, and he will continue to prophesy on down through the reigns of Ahaz and Hezekiah. And in fact, Hezekiah will put him to death. Now, he lives in the southern kingdom, and he prophesies from there. But he sees the fall of the northern kingdom in 722 BC, and his message is a mixture of near and distant prophecies that will give hope to Israel's future, but also contrast the dread of her impending doom. He tells the future events of both Assyria and then Babylon, even though Babylon is not even on the map yet. And he also tells the importance of the ruler that will one day come from Bethlehem. And he talks about the southern kingdom's leader who will thwart Assyria's attempt to conquer her. He talks about the exiles and the ultimate compassion of the Lord, all prophecies that will come true. Now, Micah grows up in Moresh Gath, and it's a little town 17 miles southwest of Bethlehem in the southern kingdom, just outside that famous village called Gath, which was the birthplace and the residence of the giant by the name of Goliath. His first message will tell of the Lord's second coming to put an end to Israel's ultimate rebellion. And his second message warns the southern kingdom of their coming doom if they reject the Lord and begin to worship idols like the northern kingdom. Now, they've not done that yet, but they will, and Micah is telling them of what's going to happen when they do. In Pekah's last year as king of the north, Jotham dies and his son Ahaz becomes king. He rules for 16 years, and he is not like his father or his grandfather. He is an evil king. In fact, Ahaz is so evil that he offers some of his sons as human burnt sacrifices, and he serves the false gods of the northern kingdom. Now, Micah, seeing this, warns of the calamity that is going to happen to the northern kingdom and if the southern kingdom takes over and does the same thing. Micah says, "Woe to those who scheme iniquity and who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in their power of their hands. They covet fields, and they seize them, and houses, and they take them away. They rob a man in his house, and a man of his inheritance." The Lord says, "Behold, I am planning against this family a calamity which you cannot remove your necks, and you will not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time against you. And on that day they will take up against you a taunt and utter a bitter lamentation. And the people will say, 'On that day we are completely destroyed.' They will not have leaders to stretch out the measuring line in the lot of the assembly of the Lord. And the house of Jacob will not be far behind. And the Lord will ask, 'Is it being said, O house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to the one who walks uprightly?' The Lord says, 'Recently my people have arisen as an enemy to me. You strip the robe of the garment of the unsuspecting passerby, the one who is returning from war. And the women of my people you evict from their pleasant houses. And from those women you take the children who are truly my splendor forever,' the Lord says. So the destruction is coming. The problem is if a man is walking after the wind in a falsehood and he's told a lie and he says, 'I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor.' Well, that's the man who is the spokesman for this people of mine in Israel. He said, 'I'm going to assemble you all. Jacob, I'm going to assemble you all together with the remnant of Israel. And I will put them together one day like sheep in a fold. Yes, and I will pull the flock together and pasture it like noisy men. And in that day I will be your king and I will be your head. But you're fixing to go into exile, both of you.'" In 742 B.C., Isaiah prophesies that Pekah and Rezin will come to war against Jerusalem. And in 741, Pekah, the king of the northern kingdom, and Rezin, the king of Aram, come against the king of the south. But they are unsuccessful, because the Lord had sent Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him not to fear, and that the southern kingdom would stand for another 65 years, but the northern kingdom would soon be destroyed. So Ahaz, the king of the southern kingdom, asks for a sign, but Isaiah refuses to give him a sign. Rather, he tells Ahaz about a future sign that will one day come. And that future sign will be a virgin who will give birth to a son by the name of Emmanuel. Well, for now, the Lord will whistle for Egypt and Assyria to carry off the northern kingdom, and it will be overrun with briars and thorns. Pekah and Rezin attack Ahaz in his first year as king in the south. But they fail because Ahaz has successfully enlisted the help of Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria. Now what Ahaz does is he sends him silver and gold as gifts, and Tiglath accepts Ahaz's offer. Tiglath attacks and captures Damascus and carries all the people into exile, but he kills Rezin, their king, just as Amos and Isaiah and Hosea prophesied. The Lord said through Amos, "For three transgressions of Damascus and for four I will not revoke its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of sharp iron. So I will send fire upon the house of Haziel, and it will consume the citadels of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants of the valley of Avon and him who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. So the people of Aram will go into exile to Kir." Through Isaiah, the Lord says, "Behold, Damascus is about to be removed from being a city, and it will become a fallen ruin. And when Tiglath-Pileser gets through with it, it is destroyed." After the destruction of Damascus, Ahaz goes up to meet Tiglath in that city. And Ahaz sees an altar there that he really likes, and he has plans drawn up, and he instructs Urijah, the priest, to build one. He builds it as a tribute to Tiglath, and he places it in the house of the Lord down in Jerusalem. The bronze altar and other items are moved out, and things are changed, and things are torn down. Ahaz is evil in the eyes of the Lord. In the northern kingdom, Hoshea plots against Pekah after Tiglath exiles the people, and Hoshea kills Pekah. It is the 12th year of Ahaz's rule in the south, and Hoshea becomes the new king of the north, and he rules for 9 years as an evil king. During that time, the Lord says through Isaiah, "But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by the streams of water. This one will say, 'I am the Lord's,' and that one will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write it on his hand, 'Belonging to the Lord,' and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer and the Lord of hosts, 'I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I long since announced it to you and declared it, and you are my witnesses? Is there any God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none. Those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble together. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. Think about this. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with the hammers and working it with his strong arms. He also gets hungry, and his strength fails, and he drinks no water, and he becomes weary. Another man shapes wood. He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with the planes and outlines it with a compass, and he makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of a man, so that he may sit it in his house. Think about this. He cuts the cedar for himself, and he takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and he warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread with the same wood. He also makes a god and worships it out of that same wood. And he makes a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire, and the other half he eats meat as he roasts the roast and is satisfied. He is also warmed himself by the fire and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." But with the rest of it, he makes into a god his graven image, and he falls down before it, and he worships, and he also prays to it, and he says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know, nor do they understand, for he is smeared over his eyes, so that they cannot see, and their hearts, so that they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire, and I've baked bread over the coals of some of the rest of it, and I've roasted meat and eaten it over some of the coals that from the tree that I cut down, and then I've made the rest of it into an abomination, and I fall down before a block of wood and say, 'Deliver me, for you are my God.'" He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself nor say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I can redeem you, and I have redeemed you. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forest and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and is in Israel, and he shows forth his glory. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back and turn their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant and performing the purpose of his messengers. It is I who says of Jerusalem, 'She shall be inhabited,' and of the cities of Judah, 'They shall be built.' I will raise up her ruins again. It is I who says to the depths of the sea, 'Be dried up,' and I make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desires.' And he declares of Jerusalem, 'She shall be built,' and of the temple, 'Your foundation shall be laid.'" We have to wonder, who is this Cyrus? Who is the Lord speaking about? Who is the Cyrus that is going to be sent to declare that Jerusalem will be built, and that the temple and the foundation will be laid once it's destroyed? The Lord is coming to destroy his people, the southern kingdom, and take them into exile. And he's coming to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and take them into exile. Who is this Cyrus? The Lord has prophesied the name of Cyrus to be his shepherd, to be his anointed one, to send them back out of exile. Isaiah delivered that message to the northern kingdom in 730 BC, the same year that Hoshea had become the king of that northern kingdom. Shalmaneser is now the king of Assyria, and he's become a threat to Hoshea. The only way that Hoshea can save the northern kingdom is by paying Shalmaneser a tax or a tribute each year to keep him from attacking and taking over the northern kingdom and all the inhabitants into exile. And so that is what Hoshea does. In his 16th year as king, Ahaz dies, and his son Hezekiah takes his place in the southern kingdom in 726 BC. He rules for 29 years as a good king. It is Hoshea's third year. Hezekiah will see the fall of the northern kingdom, and he will stop Assyria from taking over the southern kingdom, just as prophesied by Isaiah. In that year that Hezekiah becomes the king, and the year that his father Ahaz dies, the Lord speaks through Isaiah telling the northern kingdom that the Lord will choose Israel again. But interesting enough, he goes on to say that he has a taunt against the king of Babylon that doesn't even exist yet. And that during that time, the whole world will be at rest when Babylon has fallen. And when the king of Babylon is thrust down to the grave, Babylon will be desolate. Who is Babylon? What is Isaiah talking about? Well, the Lord has a plan and no one can stop it. And when Babylon has fallen, the people will seek refuge in the city of Zion, in Jerusalem, when the Lord is there.